Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Well, we've just concluded a very long series going through the manual Gospel Principles, a publication from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and some may be wondering why we did this, and so we wanted to recap some of the reasons that were behind us going through this. For one, if you look at the introduction of this book, it claims that it was written both as a personal study guide and as a teacher's manual. In other words, the church leadership feels that what is in this manual is so important that it needs to be taught to its membership. Now, as you've probably heard us say many times, just because Mormons are supposed to believe certain things does not necessarily mean that they all do believe certain things. But if you're a Christian wanting to talk with your Mormon neighbor about these very important topics, you should be able to feel free to use Gospel Principles as not only a guide to understand what Mormons are supposed to believe, but kind of a guide on what you should bring up to them as you're talking to them.
And one of the things you can do is perhaps just go online and be able to look up this manual. You can do that by just typing in the words Gospel Principles. And if you do that in your Google, you'll have this manual pop up, and it'll give you all the chapters. You can download them. You can read them right there on your computer. I think a lot of Latter-day Saints would be impressed if their non-Mormon friends were to come to them and say, hey, I'm reading this church manual called Gospel Principles. I have some questions. And I think that's a legitimate thing to do.
And I think Gospel Principles is a good manual to use, although we would encourage you to use any of their manuals, because manuals are considered to be what they call correlated. In other words, their manuals have been approved by the First Presidency. This is one of those correlated manuals. On page 2 in the introduction, it says, "The most important things you will ever teach are the doctrines of Christ as revealed through the Scriptures and modern prophets and as confirmed by the Holy Ghost." And it goes down and it says, "Before you teach from a chapter," this is an instruction to teachers, "before you teach from a chapter, study it thoroughly to be sure you understand the doctrine."
Notice it doesn't say theory.
No, it doesn't say theory. It doesn't talk about
personal opinions
or anything like that. This book is meant to instruct members of the LDS Church on what is considered to be doctrine. Now, I know when we went through this study, we inserted a lot of statements from outside sources. I know teachers are told not to really do that when they're teaching this book, but we felt there was a lot that wasn't being said in some of these chapters that sometimes a citation from a leader, either in general conference or perhaps even from one of their books or even another manual, would help to fill in the gaps to better inform you as to what the Mormons mean when they use certain terms, phrases, or understandings of a particular idea.
I have a confession to make. I'm the one who originally thought of doing this series, and I came to you, Bill, selling you on, I think these will be 47 easy shows, because all we're going to do is we're going to show people basically what the church teaches by using their own manual. And I didn't know you were going to go through the back door and take a look at the underbelly and see that there were some problems. And it turned out that typically we don't take an hour or two for one episode. But for this series, we probably put an average of an hour to 2 hours on every single one, because we were looking up the 1997 manual, the 1978 manual. We were looking at other quotes. So we put a lot of effort into this, and I think the series came off pretty good, where somebody could get a pretty good understanding of what Mormonism, as taught by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is teaching.
And you're absolutely right. You did say that it wasn't going to be all that difficult to do, because these are topics that we are pretty familiar with, but We did want to give you, the listener, a more well-rounded understanding of what this manual was trying to get across to its membership. And sometimes when you read some of these chapters, there seemed to be a lot that could have been said that was not said. And so to help you, the listener, better understand that, we felt it was imperative that we would look outside of the manual and kind of fill in some of these gaps.
And one of the things we have on our website, mrm.org, is on the right-hand side, it says On Air. If you click onto On Air, and then the second link button is called Organized Catalog of All Shows. If you clicked on that, you can then go to Gospel Principles. It is down halfway down the page, and we have all of the podcasts backlogged there for you to go through from the introduction all the way through chapter 47, and including the show you're listening to now. So you can go there and listen to those. And we're eventually going to make this available without commercials on a CD that could possibly be used by folks who would like to learn more by driving in their car and just listening to each of the episodes.
Now, a lot of people might be thinking, but Bill, Eric, there was like 47 chapters in this thing. I don't have time to read all that. If I was to go online or to purchase a copy of Gospel Principles, because I really want to share with my LDS friend or acquaintance, do I really need to know everything that's in all 47 chapters? No, of course not. Of course, some topics are much more important than other topics. So what are some of the things that we would encourage you to focus on if you were wanting to go back over this and be prepared in order to talk with your Mormon neighbor? First of all, I would say definitely chapter 1 when it talks about our Heavenly Father. Having a clear understanding of who the God of Mormonism is certainly very important. We hold the position that the God of Mormonism is not the God of the Bible, is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even though the manual itself uses that expression. Joseph Smith did not meet the qualification of a true prophet in this one area alone, and that is the God that he introduces is not the God that has been understood or respected either by those in the Old Testament or by those in the New Testament.
Another chapter would be the following one, chapter 2, Our Heavenly Family, because it talks about preexistence, and I think that's something that everybody who wants to understand Mormonism is going to have to understand how this all came to be. It talks about how Heavenly Father presented a plan for us to become like Him. So that needs to be understood in order to understand why we're here and where we're going.
And also chapter 3. The first three chapters, of course, would be very important. The third chapter talks about Jesus. And again, it doesn't go into a lot of the nuances of what leaders have said about Jesus, especially regarding his incarnation and the fact that just like his Heavenly Father, he was not looked upon in LDS theology as always being God. Like Heavenly Father, he had to become God at a particular point in time. And of course, with the Jesus in Mormonism, this took place in the pre-existence. For Heavenly Father, he had to go through an earthly mortality to prove himself worthy. So you might even say Jesus was more advanced than his own father by the fact that he didn't have to go through a mortality to become a God. He already was before he came into mortality.
And then chapter 10 talks about scriptures. We need to understand what the Mormon thinks of when he thinks of scriptures, the four standard works, but also the teachings of their leaders. And that was very clearly brought out in chapter 10.
And then we also feel that you probably should get a good handle on how Mormons view the atonement and how they say that the Savior atoned for our sins by suffering in Gethsemane and by giving his life on the cross. Certainly, we feel that Jesus did suffer in Gethsemane, but we find no reference in the Bible that he paid for anybody's sin during that act. The New Testament always points to the cross at Calvary, not the Garden of Gethsemane.
And then chapter 19 talks about repentance and how a person can become free from our sins through repentance and gives us the principles of repentance, all the things that you have to do. And one of the key things that is talked about on page 110 is you have to forsake your sins. And that seemed to be a topic we kept coming back to all through this series because that was something very clearly at the cornerstone of this religion.
And you know, if you don't understand what the Mormon definition is of that term, you could easily go through this manual and misunderstand really the importance of what this manual is trying to get across. This is why we say over and over, folks, that it's very important that we have a working knowledge of how Mormons define terms. I think that is one of the biggest problems Christians have when they try to talk about what they believe to their LDS friends, is they naturally assume that because they use words that we are using, that they must be defining those words in the same way. And that is not always the case. So there's nothing wrong with politely asking an LDS person, well, what do you mean when you say dot, dot, dot? What do you mean when you talk about Heavenly Father? What do you mean when you talk about Jesus? How do you describe him? What are his attributes? Things like that.
And instead of falling into the error of telling the Mormon what he believes, hear what he has to say. Understand that there might be similarity in the terms, but there are differences probably in those meanings.
Also, I would say that an important chapter would be, of course, chapter 35, dealing
obedience.
With obedience. Mm-hmm. And we see that theme all through this book. In fact, that is a theme of Mormonism. Obedience to all the commandments, repenting of all your sins, is absolutely essential if a Mormon hopes to get the best that his religion has for him. Anything less than that would mean that that individual Latter-day Saint would forfeit being with their family throughout all eternity. They would give up this exaltation, and they would be designated to a lower level of kingdom or heaven, known as the terrestrial kingdom. We hold the position that no Mormon really qualifies for the celestial kingdom, so all Mormons would probably, if Mormonism was even true, would wind up in the terrestrial kingdom. We've been told by Latter-day Saints that based on what we believe and how we behave in this life, we would probably end up in the terrestrial kingdom as well. So if that's the case, why should we ever become Mormons?
We also need to understand what the Mormon thinks about the family. So chapters 36 and 38, I think, go well together to understand what they mean when that family unit can be together. And as far as eternal marriage, what is required to be able to get married, not just for time, but for eternity.
I think the last two chapters of this book are also important chapters for the Christian to understand more completely than others, and that is dealing with the final judgment. What is expected of the Latter-day Saint when he stands before God in judgment? What is he hoping to have accomplished in his mortality to hear that he is a good and faithful servant? And of course, that chapter was really pretty harsh when you think about it. When you go through all the things that a Mormon is supposed to do, I would think that a lot of Mormons would find that chapter very troubling, sobering, convicting, if nothing else. And then the last chapter, of course, deals with exaltation, or what Mormons call eternal life, and what is necessary if a Mormon hopes to receive that type of an existence in the hereafter. These are all very good chapters, naturally, if you want a good handle of what Mormons are supposed to believe, but those are just some of the chapters I would probably point to first and foremost out of all of them. But again, we'd hope that you will use an opportunity to talk with your Mormon friends and to share with them what you believe regarding the New Testament, and tell them of the hope that lies within you, and to do it with gentleness and respect.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore.